Thank you, Jordan. Thank you for leading music, and I love hearing the guitar, as also the piano and all the talents that God has given us and those to play. Thank you for all. We're going to continue our study here. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I was very blessed last week just to hear Jonathan begin this series, this message series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe, and I believe, and I know that I was blessed to really hear that portion on the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, right? A lot of messages you hear goes into the fruit right away, but doesn't focus on what is causing, what is the transformer of our lives. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in us and is transforming us into the likeness of Christ, so that we are imitators of Christ. And I think Jonathan did a very excellent job, and I'm going to actually review some of those points. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we're going to focus on the second one, which is joy. So before we go into this, let me just read as an introduction, just hear me out on this. We are not talking about some transient feelings that are based on our moods or on our emotional highs and lows like a roller coaster. We're talking about the Spirit-filled believer who embodies these characteristics that are given divinely by God through the Holy Spirit. And especially for our older Sunday school guys, we've been studying the spiritual gifts. Just as an FYI, we are not talking about spiritual gifts. These are characteristics that should embody all believers, all characteristics, all believers, not some being gifted with the specific spiritual gifts that are defined in Scripture as spiritual gifts, but that all of these are outwardly displayed supernaturally by God of aspects of His character in our life, okay? So I want you guys to really focus in on what we're trying to get across here. It's not some kind of transient feelings. It's not some kind of we need to emotionally fill ourselves or seek out emotional highs. But these are characteristics of believers, all of these equally. Characteristics of God that are supernaturally given to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and we're going to go into some of these thoughts. And I want to really focus in on where are we? Where are we when we think about the fruit of the Spirit? Are these things alive in us? Or do we hinder the Spirit by sin, by seeking after the evil things of the world? Where are we? Are we filled with these characteristics? Are we filled by the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit, again, Galatians 5, 22 through 26, and I want you to focus on, it really speaks about the Spirit's work, transforming work, till the day of Jesus Christ, right? Day of the Lord coming, we are to allow and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work in the development of these characteristics, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. And Jonathan did an excellent job. And we're going to look into Romans 8 a little bit more about mortifying the flesh. To kill the flesh. I like the way Paul says, to reckon, to consider it dead. To crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, you could think of it like as humans, we are full of passions and we're passionately, we desire certain things, right? Right now, some people are passionately encouraged right now because of their brackets. Some of them are really down in the dumps because of their brackets. If you don't know what I'm talking about the March Madness basketball. But even in that, we throw our passions into something, right? But when it comes to the things of the Lord, and especially if we are Christ-filled, right? if we were spirit-filled and we want to imitate Christ, do we crucify the flesh and the passions so that we yield the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, okay? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, okay? Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So I want to just review a little bit, and this is actually the first point of a four-point outline here in understanding joy. I want us to go back a little bit because we have to understand the Spirit. What's the Spirit's work? Jonathan covered last week to be born again in the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So everyone who is born of the Spirit," okay? If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been born again, right? Born in the Spirit. Well, have we ever taken the step into understanding what is the Spirit doing? How are we imitating Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives into these characteristics? 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive." You've been made alive in the Spirit. So you are dead, right? Dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins. And what does Ephesians chapter 2 says? You have been quickened, right? You have been alive by the Holy Spirit and therefore need to live by it. I think this was very interesting. I love statistics. So 24 times of the Spirit in New Testament, 23 times in the Spirit, 17 times led by the Spirit. Why does it say this so much in the New Testament? And then we, like Kyle Edelman in Not a Fan, say, we reckon the Holy Spirit as on the JV team. And we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, right? God in us. I always think about, you know, the Old Testament, God was with them, right? God was with them in the wilderness, right? God was with them, walking with them. In the New Testament, God in us. You know, I think it was Kyle, again, from Not a Fan. Not a Fan was a great Bible study. It was really a challenging Bible study to really think of ourselves as, are you a fan who doesn't get really involved in the game of life and just to be a watcher? Or are you a follower? Are you ready to die for Christ? And he brings up this portion of, you know, he was saying, you know, everyone talks about when they go to heaven, right? What would it be like to talk to Moses? And, he, you know, what would it be like to talk to Jacob? And they'll be like, what was it to walk with God? And he's like, what if they turned around and said, what is it like to have the Holy Spirit in you? God in us. What is that like? Well, we get to reflect the characteristics of God and Christ, right? Three key points to define the discussion. Work of the Spirit, and we talked about that. The work of the Holy Spirit in residing in us, and we are sealed, right? We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and the inheritance, alive in the Spirit. And we're under the leading and transforming work of the Spirit. And I just want to talk about these things. It's supernatural living, and I mentioned some of these. Have we thought about our flesh? Have we taken account? Have we taken stock of where we were before Christ and how we acted before Christ? And now, how do we live? Have we mortified, killed off the flesh, and now do we supernaturally live by the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay? Or are we controlled by desires versus yielding to the Holy Spirit's work? And Jonathan mentioned last week, do not grieve or quench the spirit. Because if you do, you bring sorrow by following the ways of this world. Shame and sorrow. Have you ever stopped and paused in life and said, how am I reflecting Christ? What moves us? What do you reflect on your desires or passion and what things drive us? Are you moved by studying the Word of God? Isn't it awesome when you go to camp, when you go to any kind of conference, and you're just, man, you're on fire, and you feel that just love for the Lord? We went to the Believers Bible Conference this past December, and just being in a room and singing, "To God be the glory," and an 80, 90-year-old man leading it. I mean, it was his joy to do that. And the whole room is singing to the glory of God. You know, that feeling should be constant. That's what we're talking about here. That's the constancy of the work of the Holy Spirit and being passionate about Christ 24/7. This is what I'm talking about, 24/7. I fail. I fail miserably at times. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But this is the desire. This is what Paul, this is what the writers, this is what God is telling us in the scriptures. How do we live by the Spirit? I want to read these verses. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in itself is a study. So I just want to read these verses and let these verses just soak into your mind and understand the Spirit. We're going to begin with verse 5 and go through 14, and then we're going to do another portion. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life. Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I want us to go back and just to a small portion, verse 5. And we talked about this Thursday night in our study in Colossians. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So we as believers need to reflect on how do we manage or how do we set our minds and what things do we set our minds upon. In Colossians, Jonathan was actually leading the devotion this Thursday. He really focused in. What do we focus on? It says in Colossians, set your mind on things above. On the heavenlies, on things that, what does it say here? Please God. See, we're talking about, have we ever taken stock of the passions and desires and the lusts of our flesh? And do they bring me short-term happiness and it really brings me more miserable because I'm already running to that next high? Or have I mortified it, and now I live in life and peace in the Spirit, and I have this constant or somewhat of a constant living for Christ? set your mind on things. Flesh sets their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. One more portion here. Same chapter, Romans 8. I want us to consider a very well-known part, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. All right? So this is really interesting, okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Do you hear the work of the Spirit for believers? The Spirit is interceding on our behalf and works in our weaknesses, okay? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I'll read to, verse 20, that's 28. So we hear here now the working of the Holy Spirit in our weaknesses makes our utterings, our groanings pleasing to God. The work of the Spirit in your life. We don't give enough account to the Holy Spirit, right? Or we don't because we're still passionately following our own desires and our own lusts. But Paul is calling us. He's calling us out. He's teaching us, right? But the fruit of the Spirit are these things. So he's saying, here's a litmus test. I don't know if you want to call it a litmus test. How do you know that you're following Christ versus the world and your flesh? Well, these things should be evident in your life, right? Are you living a life Spirit-filled or a life by the flesh of this world? Paul in Romans is saying, do you live a life pleasing? Are the fruit of the Spirit in your life that are characteristics of God's own character and that imitate Christ, or are you following after the world where there's no hope, there's just the next emotional high? This is what my fear is for the young people today. I really fear the young people because at their fingertips, technology is saying, oh, just go for that next high, that next game, or that next accomplishment, that next drive. Or you see someone else on Facebook doing all this fancy stuff over here, and you're comparing your life to that, whereas they're probably dead in their sins. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul is saying there is life in Christ. When you follow and you yield your life to the Spirit, you find favor in God's presence. You find it pleasing to God, and you glorify His name. Are these things, are you living a life Spirit-filled or a life filled by the flesh? Well, the answer is, if it's yes, are these things in your life? Specifically, now we're going to jump to joy. Okay, again, let me read this thing to you again. We're not talking about transient feelings, right, that are based on moods or our emotional highs or lows like a roller coaster. We're talking about the Spirit-filled believer who embodies these characteristics that are given divinely by God through the Spirit. It's a state of being, right? It's a state of well-being, and these things evident in our lives. Have you ever met a person that is just 24/7 happy? I think of Jonathan sometimes. I think of Johnny Gordon sometimes. Just all of the time, they just have a smile on their face, and they're like, "Yeah, I just had a tree fall on my leg. Oh, I'm doing good." You know, he came with a gash or something. He goes, it's just fun. It's just fun. You know, have you ever found a person that has faith beyond faith, faithfulness? Again, I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. I'm talking about a state of being. I just got done. I've shared this so many times now. I just got done with Jim Elliot's biography. Jim Elliot, oh my goodness. A man of faith. that in the 50s, he would go out. He would go out to a people group that everyone was saying, "Are you crazy?" And he was praying. He was praying for four like-minded brothers to go with him to a group that was ready to kill people. They just killed the Exxon drillers and the workers there. And they said, "Are you nuts?" These men had the joy of Christ in their life. And they had a faith to depend on God. These were fruit of the Spirit, right? When you yield your life to the Spirit, these things develop in your life. And let me just say, I have a long way to go, okay? I have a long way to go, but this is what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. So I want to read some of these things. Let's get into the state of well-being in Christ, specifically speaking about joy, okay? Joy, again, this joy, fruit of the Spirit of joy. Spiritual joy is the gift of God to those who believe the gospel, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit because they believe and obey the word. And despite circumstances, this is key, despite difficulties mixed with trials, and they set their hope on eternal glory, they continue to have joy. Kara, joy is defined as a noun, joy or gladness, joyful, joyously, rejoicing, used 59 times. Kairo, the verb form, to rejoice, be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well. I love this word. Thrive. Don't you love that word? That's a word of a state of being in Christ, of thriving, because you're joyous because of your life in Christ. Anyone recognize what these are a form of? Kara or kario? Say it. Right? Charis? Grace, right? Yeah. Grace. What a great word. When we speak about joy, are you joyful? Are you joyous? Are you rejoicing? Do people enjoy being around you because it's infectious joy? I think it's interesting that we are not like this because we have been so infected by the world, okay? Let me tell you about something else I'd like to just share. Oh, this is just where we're going. So I already spoke about being Spirit-filled, and now we're in the state of well-being in Christ, despite your circumstances. Why don't we have joy in our lives? We're going to get to that. And then finally, the elements of joy. State of well-being. Joy isn't happiness, okay? I want you guys to hear that. Joy isn't happiness. Happiness can be a part of joy, right? Joy isn't a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, true joy is of divine origin, okay? It's of divine origin, and it just bursts forth because of what is the object of our joy. This is key, okay? What is the object of our joy? It's life in Christ, isn't it? I shared this at Cambridge, and I hope it's a good illustration. If not, just don't tell me anything later. I don't want to hear it. If I make my life all for my wife as my object, if my wife is the object of my life, can I tell you I will fail because I will never probably go up to her expectations or go up to my expectations? So my object is wrong, isn't it? I love my wife, okay? I'm not saying I don't love my wife. But the object of my heart affections has to be Christ. Because in him, he is perfect. He has saved me with a agape love and poured down his grace and mercy upon me. That is the object of my joy. Does that make sense? This is where the world falls short. Happiness is based on circumstantial pleasure, merriment, exuberance, excitement, or something that causes one to feel hopeful or to be in high spirits. These fleeting emotions of happiness, although very pleasurable at the moment, usually go just as quickly as they came. All it takes is one bad circumstance to alter or state a being. I know I shouldn't use this, but Virginia had the best ACC conference title, okay? They had the best record. They won the ACC tournament. What happened? They in a moment, can you imagine the Virginia fans? And they have such a good coach, too. I really like that coach. Anyway, we won't go there now. But do you understand what I'm saying? These fleeting emotions of happiness, although very pleasurable at the moment, usually go just as quickly as they came. Again, what is the object of our joy? Here's things that I found online, okay? Happiness is a choice. You're the only person who can make you happy. You're as happy as you choose to be. What? So who's the center? You. Where's the source of that joy? Is it not the Holy Spirit? Here, it's self-centeredness, right? What's the measure of your joy? Okay, let's look at another crazy one. Happiness is something that comes into our lives through doors we don't even remember leaving open. What? What are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. Do you understand? This is people trying to find pleasure in empty doors. Through empty doors. They're trying to find pleasure in rooms that are probably very tickling to our emotions and our passions. But what happens? You keep need to go to the next door, right? Next room. There's no fulfillment. Here's another crazy one. Happiness is not something really made. It comes from your own actions. What a great... See that, Dalai Lama? Does it make sense? Earthly worldly pleasures, earthly joy that people rejoice by following the impulses. You follow the impulses of their heart. In other words, when you get a passion or longing or desire or a lust for something and you fulfilled, you have joy that's earthly joy completely connected to the fulfillment of earthly desires. Joy in the spiritual realm, in understanding the fruit of the spirit of joy, the Holy Spirit transforming our hearts to understand and to exude the joy of Christ, is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing which was promised to those who abide in Christ and obey his commandments. It does not depend on circumstances. It does not depend on circumstances because it rests in God's, hear me on this, it rests in God's sovereign control of all things. So when we have medical difficulty, when we have that cancer, when we have a loved one that has to deal with breast cancer or the difficulties of an accident or whatever it may be. I'm not saying those things are not tough. I'm not saying that it does not create sorrow. There is deep sorrow in some of these things. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know who is sovereign over all things and over all circumstances. And we're not pushed around like the winds, a ship in a wind, right? We have a constant, deep, abiding joy. I have to share, you know, one of the most amazing stories is the five men that died on Palm Beach in Ecuador, Jim Elliott and his friends. One of the most amazing stories are the five women. The five women with their children. They mourned for their loved one. But can I tell you, because of their faith, especially Elizabeth Elliot, Rachel Saint, and others, they had an abiding constant, and that was Christ. They had a joy that they had. I know I'm going on a rabbit trail. Do you remember Mr. McCulley's wife's name? What was the McCulley's wife's name? I can't remember. This was one of the missionaries that died. They actually went right next to the Waudani territory, okay? This is the Alka Indians. Alka was actually a derogatory term from the other Indians. So the Indians were called Waudani, okay? The McCullys actually set up their house right next to the territory, okay? And they actually built a fence, an electrified fence. One night, Ed McCully, right? Ed McCully was off. He was doing work with some other tribe. She was there either pregnant or with a child. And one of the other Indian from another Indian tribe was running and making noise right outside the house. And she goes running out. And she's like, what's going on? And she's like, and the Indian was saying, give me a rifle. I think there's Waudani Indians right across the fence because they're known to attack at night and kill them. And I think he grabbed the rifle or something. And she actually went. She took the rifle from him. And she lifted it above her head and stood at the fence saying to the Waudanis that were probably deep in the forest watching, she's like, I want to be near you. Do you know what kind of faith that is? To stand with a rifle and saying, I'm not going to use it, but I want to come near to you so that you may know Christ. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's faith upon faith. That's joy in our heart so that others would know Christ. Others would know Christ. Does that dwell in us? Does that challenge your heart to have it? This is what Christ is. This is what Paul is teaching us here. The joy, the deep abiding sense of inner rejoicing to those who abide in Christ. Despite our circumstances, what do we think of? Paul gave us the best example. 1 Thessalonians 1 through 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 8, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. You remember this message about giving and generously giving? The Macedonian churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction and poverty, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. What a testimony. Despite circumstances, despite trials and afflictions, you have this reservoir. You have this reservoir of joy by the Holy Spirit. And it's infectious. It comes out. You go to a funeral and everyone's mourning. And you walk in and you feel for the family, but you smile because you're like, I know who has it all under control. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I mourn for you, but what does it say? Weeping lasts for the night, right? But joy cometh in the morning. Joy. Philippians 2, 17 through 18. Yes, and if I'm being poured out. Remember where he was writing this? From prison, right? Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Rejoice. For some reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. You rejoice in my affliction. Why? Because Christ is sustaining me, and because of my affliction, others are coming to know Christ. Think about the Roman guards. Think about those that are around me, the soldier that's chained to me. In my affliction, you rejoice. You lift up the name of Christ. You tell others, if North Korean soldiers can beat upon Christians and are enslaved in the prison camps, what are those North Korean soldiers going to see? They're going to see a faith they've never seen in years and years of communism. Do you see what Paul is saying? But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. joy of all that Christ has done for us. James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Count it all joy. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. You are taking part in Christ's sufferings. You rejoice in that. You rejoice that you may also rejoice and be glad. Rejoice. Gladness. When his glory is revealed. Same word, right? Kara. Does this dwell in us? What is hindering us from all this? Why do we not have joy in our lives? Can I say very clearly, and I know my time is going here. Maybe you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, today is the day of salvation, right? Today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't know Christ. You're headed to eternal damnation and condemnation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. Repent of your sins. Could this be why you're so uneasy in your hearts and your souls? Know Christ. Know Christ. Come to him. Are you being tempted? What is stealing your joy in Christ? We could pause here. What is stealing joy in your life? There's many things, right? Job, security, children. Or maybe it's other things that Satan is tempting you on. Pornography. Other bad relationships? Is Satan stealing your joy? Peter says, cast all your burdens upon him. James 4:7 says, submit. Yield yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe you have something you've never given over to God. Past sins or current. God desires repentance. God desires confession. Maybe either after the meeting, if you need to talk to someone, talk to Jonathan and I or one of the other brothers here or sisters. Deal with it now. Confess it. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. False expectations, bitterness. What is stealing your joy? Why don't you have any joy? Could it be you've never given over hurt relationships? You never dealt with that one person, and you can't maybe even remember what it was. Maybe that's something you need to deal with. Bitterness is the root of bitterness. Oh my goodness, it's just destructive. And not only that relationship with that person, but the loved ones around you, dealing with it, dealing with your heart of bitterness. There was a story, sorry, I got to share this. Where's Barbara? We had Michael Card shared a story in one of his concerts where I can't remember the song, but it was a song about his father, and his father was a doctor, okay? And he would give his life at the medical clinic for everyone that came to the medical clinic, right? And his father worked hard. But when he came home, he would, instead of meeting his family, he was so bitter towards the world that he would go into his office and close the office door. And I think, I can't remember, don't get me wrong here, but he was somewhat of an alcoholic or something, but Michael Card would look under the door looking at his father, and he was so bitter, and it affected him and his family in such a way. Is that you today? What is stealing your joy? prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Do we have anxiety-filled lives? We worry, not measuring up, worries of tomorrow. James 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Ignorance, no truth of God in your life, no sound doctrine of knowing what this means in our life. You don't know the truth of God. You don't know the riches of the truth of the Word of God in your life. It's like gold when we know the Word of God. So from this, I'm going to close with some of these thoughts. So what are the elements of joy? The fruit of the Spirit of joy. Abiding sense, a deep abiding sense of rejoicing in your life. One is obedience to Christ and his commands. John 15, 10 through 11 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Completeness of Christ's joy in your life, in obedience. Do you have confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to read these verses. Confidence that the Holy Spirit is transforming your life. Dependence upon God. Dependence upon God. Can you imagine? I just want to read this verse here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Where was Paul writing this? From prison, right? His heart was tuned into rejoicing. It was tuned into Christ's work. Are we there? Maybe we need to spend more time on our knees. Spend more time in understanding what God is doing. Again, more verses. Thankfulness, gladness, a mindset to praise and prayer. Elements of joy. Things that help us to understand this joy. And especially in Philippians, Paul was always giving thanks. Thankfulness. Do you have someone that's just a worry wart? And someone that just complains about everything? Well, maybe if that's you, maybe you should begin a list of what things you could be thankful for. Pray for others. Pray for the work of the gospel work. Fellowship and petitioning for others. Again, in Philippians is a great book about joy also. Paul was praising. He was rejoicing because though he was in prison, the work was going on. And he was praying for others because they have joined him in the work. Epaphroditus, right? He was a fellow worker, right? And he was rejoicing that this brother was striving with him. And then even in Philippians chapter 2 and 3, he says, I'm sending him back to you and honor this brother. Honor this servant of the Lord. He was rejoicing in others, in the assembly. Participation in the gospel, of the gospel effort. Are you living a life spirit-filled or a life filled by the flesh and this world? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. Where are you with God? Are you living a spirit-filled life, or are you still hindering, quenching the spirit? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you once again, Lord, for the time that we've had to consider your life-giving words of these characteristics that need to be in all believers' lives. Lord, I know that I fail at some of these, Lord, and I pray that you continue this good work. Lord, help me to be prayed up. Help me to pray more. Help me to reside at your throne of grace, Lord, that I may know more of you, Lord, and that Lord, that you would fill me up by your Spirit, Lord, to understand these truths. Lord, I know the flesh can sneak in. I know the flesh can take over at times, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that I would be vigilant, be aware of these desires and the lust, evil desires of this world, and even Satan coming to tempt. Lord, and may I flee, may I resist the devil as you have said in your word. Lord, help me to cast all my cares upon you, Lord. Help us, Lord, teach us to cast all our worries and our cares upon you, and Lord, that you will, Lord, help us to depend upon you more. Lord, I thank you. I pray for this chapel, Lord. I pray for us hearing this message, Lord. May you move mightily in our lives. Lord, I thank you. Lord, be with us as we depart, and may we be a bright testimony and witness for thy name and bring you glory. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.